It is a very good afternoon. It helps if I hire it up, doesn't it? It's a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan, which for the next 2 hours, but don't forget, 2 hours is two podcasts. So if you are downloading, the first half of the show is in the first podcast. The next half of the show will be on the next episode. In the next episode, we will be talking about an email that we received from a woman whose holiday was ruined, a package holiday, because she was on a flight and everybody was pissed. And she wants to know why we don't ban the sale of alcohol on aeroplanes. And I have to be honest, I completely agree with her. I've been in that position with yobbles and hooligans and hens parties and stags parties. And you really feel like the flight's going to go down with these people, and yet they just keep serving them alcohol. Why do they do it? Because they get good commission out of it and they're selling cheap flights. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. So if you want to, when you want to hear that one, go to the next podcast. Don't forget, by the way, to support our podcast. We've no other way of making money. Three of us work on this podcast. We don't get paid. We just want enough money to pay the bills at the end of each month. It's getting close to the end of the month. So please donate or subscribe by going to our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. You can donate and subscribe there. And anyway, anytime during the show, by the way, if you click on the link below the show, you'll see Buy Me a Coffee. You can buy us a cup of coffee. It's only £5 for a cup of coffee and we'll share it. I swear to God, we'll all take a little sip out of it. Thank you very much indeed to everybody who supports the show. Now, the first thing I want to get to is sex education. Oh, before I get to that, it's really important that I mention how shit Sinn Féin are. Because as you noticed over the last 2 days, Sinn Féin have done a U-turn. All of a sudden now, we're seeing Pa Daly turn around and say they don't agree with the hate speech bill. They've just got a community notice from Twitter because they all voted in favour of it last year. Simon Harris on this morning on News Talk said he did agree with the hate speech bill and he's motoring on. So Simon is just not reading the room. We'll get back to talking about that later on, and we talked about hate speech yesterday. But another contentious topic, of course, is sex education. This is another one the government are going to have to consider if they want to stay in power, because they're not reading the room. Relationships and sex education will be taught at an earlier stage under draft new primary school curriculum, in the recognition that many children are starting school at an older age and in some cases are experiencing puberty earlier, according to the authorities. Now, the changes are contained in a draft specification for key subjects, which will feature a new curriculum regarded by the policymakers as the biggest shake-up to the primary school education in 25 years. It includes teaching about sex and consent at an earlier stage and less time on religion. Foreign languages will also be taught in primary school, along with greater focus on other people's cultures. Dr. Patrick Sullivan of the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment says the curriculum has not had a major change or reform in 25 years. The draft documents on the changes are centred around the various topics such as well-being, which in itself includes sex education. The document on well-being, they say, the curriculum adopts a holistic approach to PE and SPHE, acknowledging the interconnected dimensions of well-being. Now, it not only imparts a thorough understanding of the personal and collective well-being, but also fosters qualities such as an empathy, inclusivity, a sense of community, teamwork, fairness and social justice. And I can tell you that's been written by ChatGPT for the National Council, because the word fosters comes up on ChatGPT all the time, just like Delve. The curriculum will support children to acquire accurate and developmental appropriate information about human development and sexuality that is evidence-informed. And the People Before Profit, by the way, have said on their website, the real controversy around the RSE should be that it's not objective enough. It is restricted by reflecting the religious ethos of a school, and a child or young person who is LGBTQ+ may not have their prospective sexual relationships acknowledged in over 90% of primary schools and over half the secondary ones. The new programme includes the LGBT+ identities, gender, sexual topics, sexuality topics, and also teaches students strategies for regulating and managing unhealthy emotions. Additional topics include equality, consent, and tools for recognising signs of abusive relationships and gender-based violence. While, according to Owen Cleary, the coordinator, he says, while some small but vocal groups are spreading false information about the changes, the draft curriculum strives to provide children with a balanced, inclusive, age and developmental appropriate understanding of human development. And the SPHE and wellbeing coordinator, Owen Cleary, went on to say he had addressed many of the misguided narratives. He said instead of vilifying the curriculum, he encourages parents to take all of their passion, time and energy and direct that towards improving the our communities, our children and going that our children are going to inherit. Anyway, you get the gist. It's just like word vomit, isn't it, reading from that, by the way? And when I went to the actual website, by the way, for the national curriculum, and I clicked on primary school and sex education, I got a 404 error. That was the only page I got a 404 error on, which was quite weird. If I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd be almost thinking they took it down on purpose. Anyway, I want to ask you, do you agree with reducing the age for sex education? And not only reducing the age, but expanding sex education to include what they call not being gender normative. And also, apart from that, to include, you know, LGBT relationships, to tell a child they don't have to be a boy if they don't want to be, they can be a girl if they want to be, or vice versa. Do you believe that we should include all of that? Some people would say it's important that we do, because we live in a world where this happens anyway, and people are part of the LGBTQ community. And we need to teach children at a young age, before they reach puberty, that these relationships exist and we don't judge people. It's a fair point, I suppose. But on the other hand, you have people saying, well, hold on, they're children. They're innocent. Leave their innocence until they get a little bit older. We don't need to teach them stuff like that. No matter what way you look at it, it's inappropriate. Let me know what you think. Do you agree with more diverse sex and relationship education for young children in schools? Now, joining me is Leisha De Bruin from The Countess, CEO and founder of The Countess, and also Jana London, who is from the Natural Women's Council. Ladies, good evening to you, or good afternoon, she should say.
Good afternoon, Niall.
I'll come to you first, Leisha, if I can, in relation to this. This idea that they say, you know, while small but vocal groups, I'm sure that's directed towards you bunch, are basically condemning this bill and spreading false information. What are they suggesting by that? I mean, to me, it looks pretty straightforward. They want to include, you know, LGBTQ identities, gender and sexual topics and relationships around those things. So I don't think that's anything false about the information you're putting out. You're just saying you don't think it's appropriate.
I think what's happening here is there's a confusion at the very premise. And we would not accept the premise that being gay, lesbian or bisexual is the same thing as being trans. And I think that is what is underpinning all of this education. I mean, there's a lot of this that is good. And we do know that child-on-child sexual abuse is a growing issue in Ireland. It's a growing issue in schools. Homophobic bullying is a real issue. And these are things we should be concerned about. So clear, concise parental and also schools-based information and guidance around consent and any sort of education that will offset or prevent homophobia is good. But what happens is some good stuff gets kind of mixed in this pot with what I can only describe as just a sheer soup of indoctrination, and it's stirred. And like, if we take a step back, and I know you've talked about it, you've done a lot on hate speech, and I'm glad that Sinn Féin has finally come out against it, even though it's kind of, is it too late? But when we take a step back, what's happening is really the indoctrination of a generation of children in school in Ireland. And, you know, I just want to pay tribute to Jana, who's done such good work in this area. And, you know, her campaign in libraries has been so effective. But like, what they're trying to do is indoctrinate a whole generation of children into sort of trans ideology. And I think that's where, you know, we come in, and that's where we say, we're saying no, absolutely not in our name, and we must do everything to stop it. But what's also happening is, and I've discussed this with you before, is teachers are being rolled out as sort of foot soldiers for this ideology. I mean, I met Norma Foley at a conference a few years ago and tried to bring this up with her, and we've been writing to her for years. And like, all I can tell you is that the Department of Education is captured. You know, it's without wanting to use a war analogy, it's fallen, Niall. You know, it's fallen. So we have to
we can see Norma Foley going, of course, to St. Patrick's Day parade with Panty Bliss being the ambassador for Ireland. I mean, so we can clearly see that, as you say, it's captured. In other words, they're certainly on the side of the LGBTQ. And by the way, I completely agree with what you said. We don't want to go forward in time and continue to have people, you know, homophobia and people beating people up just because they have a different sexual orientation. But there's a balance to be got somewhere in the middle as well, where we have to accept that the majority of school children will be raised and will grow up being straight, not gay or homosexual or lesbian or indeed transgender, which is a very small minority. But let me come to you first, Jana, if we can. We talk about indoctrination. I had a very interesting conversation last night with an American man, and he was telling me about this idea in the United States that, and his theory is that if, say, you know, five people had cancer, you wouldn't medicate, you know, the whole population of the world because five people have cancer. And I'm certainly not using an analogy between cancer and transgenderism or homosexuality or lesbianism, but obviously it's a minority. So why are we telling the majority how we should behave in life, or, you know, why we need to do this, rather than just supporting the minority, if you know what I mean. Like, you would support those people with cancer, just like, for example, if you had children who are confused about their gender in school, that you would support those children. But there's no need to tell the rest of the children, you know, this is okay, you know, if you want to be a boy, you can be a girl, or whatever it is. In other words, that you deal with just the people who have an issue, and you support those people.
Yeah, Niall, that's a really good point. And I think when we meet a lot with parents on the street, when we're leafleting or we're at live events, the question everybody asks is, where is this coming from? And where is the evidence that this is coming from? And you mentioned cancer. So, you know, with cancer, it is an illness that needs treatment. With this, it is a psychological, gender dysphoria is a psychiatric condition in the States. I think it's been redefined in Ireland. But we would not want to, we don't want to spread this condition in the classroom. And if we, this
you're
is
talking a, about this a social is, contagion, of course.
A social contagion. So this is coming. We've looked at where it's coming from. There's no evidence that this is coming from the bottom up. I have written to Norma Foley to ask, you know, this is rolling out under the diversity, equality and inclusion, DEI, but I actually, I'm going to start calling it the diversity, inclusion, equality. Let's just refer to it as DIE because this needs to be dead and stopped dead in the tracks. I've asked Norma Foley's department, show us evidence that the LGBTQ community is getting bullied in school by children. Is there, that's why they're rolling this out, because apparently that community is getting bullied. I've not received any evidence. They're rolling it out under kindness, inclusion, you know, respecting minorities, but kids are born full. Kids are born kind. Kids don't see the way adults do. They don't see people's skin color different. They don't see people's sexuality different. My daughter was friends with a boy who wore a dress, and she didn't make any comments on this. So we are pushing something into children's minds that they don't need to have pushed. It goes along with the critical race theory, which is coming in school, trying to teach children that they should feel privileged for being white, Irish, or male. Of all the people in the world, Irish people don't need to feel privileged for any reason. There was oppression here for, 800 years. So they're pushing a political agenda into schools. This is run by political activists. It is a multi-billion dollar funded operation that is a military attack on children. This is a war on the children.
When you say a military attack, they will argue that, you know, all we're doing is preparing children, you know, for life. I mean, because in life, obviously, there is same-sex marriage. In life, there are people who identify as a different gender. So we're preparing children for life. So they're non-judgmental. Now, as you say, children are born non-judgmental. It's the parents that usually make them judgmental. But in saying that, you know, that's what they will argue, that we're just preparing them. And also, if I could focus too on the sexual aspect of it, you know, I'm a little bit unsure about, you know, when we talk about primary school, we're talking about, I'm assuming it's fifth and sixth class, we're talking about 10, 11-year-olds. Do you think it's acceptable to teach a 10-year-old, you know, about sex education in general, be it LGBTQ or be it straight or be it gay or whatever it happens to be? Do you think it's acceptable to teach a child?
Yeah, I'll just clarify, because something we always come up against when we're running events by the other side who argue this is appropriate is they say, oh, are you trying to bring Ireland back to the dark ages and not teach sex in schools? But just to clarify for your listeners, there's a very big difference between sex education and sexuality education. Sex education is a biological fact. We used to, in the 70s and 80s in school, it was referred to as the birds and the bees. We are not against the biology and the sex education and, you know, children going through puberty and those type of changes. But what we are against is teaching things like gender ideology as a fact. There was the big thing going around recently was the genderbred person, which is very child-friendly little genderbred person, teaching children they can be a boy, girl, neither, or both, irrespective of the sex you were assigned at birth. And even that terminology, assigned at birth, we are not assigned sex at birth. It's not like the baby comes out when you assign a sex. Sex is determined at conception in the womb. So there's a very big difference. And I'm not, my children are 5 and 8, and they know a little bit about, you know, they ask about their body parts since they were 2. That's biology. That's different than teaching them they can change their sex. This is a document that every listener should look up online, WHO Standards of Sexuality. There's a page in there, The Matrix. The WHO, the World Health Organization, which also want to ratify the WHO treaty in May, 2 months' time, wants to teach age 4 things like masturbation. They want to teach age age 9 about their first sexual experience. Now, I'm sorry, but no responsible adult or parent should want age 9 to talk about their first sexual experience.
But, when you say that's the WHO, you know, the NCCA will say, well, that's not what's in our curriculum. That's the WHO. I mean, and I'll come back to Leisha on that because she's a barrister of law. In relation to what applies to the Irish curriculum versus what's in the WHO document, and I've seen some of the stuff in the WHO document, and it's vile, to be honest with you, if you ask me. But Leisha, does that automatically apply to the Irish curriculum?
It doesn't apply in terms of law or any kind of jurisdiction. It's not like sort of a EU directive that then we must, transpose. It's not like that. But what Jana and I have both seen, and other campaigners like us, is there is evidence of queer theory baked into the activism that where all this is coming from. So we just look at it in an Irish sense. We do know that the advisory committee on the NCCA, which is coming up with all of, you know, which is putting forward all of these ideas, you know, there are activists on that, in that group, and they are absolutely behind queer theory. And queer theory to me is, in essence, it's about breaking down the idea that childhood is something that society should protect. That childhood is a developmental stage. And so it's not that there's a causal nexus, but it is that this ideology has somehow permeated, who would believe it, you know, Irish educational standards and thinking in 2024. And, you know, sometimes when you talk about this out loud, you sound like a conspiracy theorist, but this is what's happening, you know. Like, it's very clear in black and white. If you do a tiny bit of reading, one of the key kind of activists on the NCCA committee that's coming up with all this material, you know, she has written about, you know, the kind of fallacy or the myth of childhood innocence. So that's what's behind all this new thinking. And I think at our peril, do we not take it seriously, actually? Mm. This is, as Jana said, a war for childhood. But it's what that means is, It's a battle to protect the concept in law and socially that the childhood is a developmental stage, because, you know, we know that children, you know, childhood is almost disappearing into kind of, you know, they're given a phone or they're given an iPad, and then they're no longer kind of running outside, they're no longer playing, you know, creative games. Like the childhood that we enjoyed is sort of over, but mm-hmm. what we're now seeing is there's a kind of encroachment into that childhood, into that innocence of...
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think we've moved forward too fast. I know only yesterday in Florida, Ron DeSantis has now banned the use of social media for anybody under the ages of 14, which I think is wonderful. He's actually making it illegal to be on social media under the age of 14. And he's also now talking about under 16s as well, which I think he's absolutely right to do. But Janley, just getting back to you, I did notice in the document going back some time ago the term gender normative, and that they wanted to remove gender normative from sex education. Now, I don't know whether that was in relation to the junior cycle or in relation to primary school, but I imagine it's in relation to both. So maybe you could explain that for our listeners, you know, what they mean by gender normative. In other words, is that suggesting that we don't at any point ever say, you know, man meets a, or boy meets girl, they have babies, they grow up and have family? You know, this kind of idea of gender normative.
Yeah, absolutely. They do want to break that gender normative down, and they want to. I've seen a document, I can send it, post it on my Twitter after. There's a glossary of terms that is in one of the SPHE books, and something we're doing, which our website's under design. We're going to start uploading a lot more pages from these books to share with parents out there. But it is breaking it down. It's saying that, you know, not all families, it's creating that normality that not all families have, you know, mom, dad, they're going to start weaving in. The other thing to really point out to listeners, really important for parents, is currently parents can opt their children out of the certain parts of the curriculum that don't align with our moral conscience. Under the Education Act of 1998, we can do that. So we've opted them out, say, of the pronoun use or the gender ideology or, you know, all that other stand-up weeks belong to coming in and all of that. But what's really important now is from the curriculum that we've seen, we have teachers that are working with the INTO who are on our group, teachers that are on courses about this, teachers who are SPHE teachers, that opting out will soon become pointless, because in this new curriculum, this material and this indoctrination that Lisha mentioned will be embedded in every single aspect of the curriculum.
Well, it's going to be, it is difficult to opt children out in primary school. In secondary school, it's a lot easier because you've got separate classes. So you've got SPHE would be in a separate class, so it's easier to opt a child out. But when you've got an ethos in a primary school where, you know, at any point of the day, you don't know what you're going to be talking about, be it mathematics or Irish or, you know, religion or a language or whatever it is, or sex education or relationship education, you know, it's an ethos that runs through the day. So, you know, when they're talking about the ethos changing, and that's indeed what they're talking about, is the ethos change and removing gender normative from the ethos. Well, then simple things like even in English, telling a story about, you know, the boy who met the girl and had a baby, that will become no more. I imagine that's the route they're aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lisha mentioned queer theory. And if anyone wants to know more about that, I'm only learning more about that myself. And queer doesn't mean, like back in the 70s, queer meant gay. That's not what it means at all. So we did a podcast on the Natural Women's Council YouTube channel with a researcher, retired engineer, Eugene, and he did a deep dive into queer theory. It's on our YouTube channel. It's about a 90-minute discussion. We're doing part two this Thursday. So queer theory is going through every aspect. So if your child is in history, art, and music, they might be learning about a famous person who's now come out as non-binary. So all these famous people that are non-binary, trans or whatever, they're going to be pushed into the curriculum. So students will see them as the role model, just as they see all these people on TikTok. So math, you know, how much does a chest binder cost? It's five, it's 20. You have 50. Let's do the equation about the cost of a chest binder. So be under no illusion that opting out is going to be pointless, because this is infiltrating into every aspect of the curriculum. And the other really terrible thing that's happening in secondary schools is we have seen that some of the core subjects are being moved to optional to make room for this well-being, diversity, inclusion, equality, the DIE.
They are reducing religion. Yeah. But mind you, that's been on the cards for 10 years.
But
anyway,
I'm talking about science. Yeah. So things are going to be optional. Science, geography, business studies, home economics, visual arts, music, and a couple languages. I've seen the paperwork in the book, in the school book, that this is optional. Some schools have science still as core. So what's going to happen to these children is they're not going to be learning the core education studies. Instead, they're going to be put through a queer theory, Marxism, social justice warriors, and they're going to come out really
We see the controversy last week when it was suggested in relation to climate change that children are taught how to be activists. I mean, that in itself was quite a dangerous situation when we're
teaching
children.
There was one speaking on News Talk this morning that she's really happy to be in school learning about the climate crisis and how to be a social justice warrior. So that's what the kids are going
to
be.
Well, I've spoken to people about that. Yeah. The last thing you want is your seven-year-old coming home crying thinking the world is going to end. Just before I go to Sarah Holmes, I want to bring Sarah in. I just want to go to Christine, who called in, who actually agrees with us. Christine, you've been listening to Jana and also Lisha there talking about, you know, the potential for what could be coming in relation to sex education in schools and that kind of diversity of sex education in primary schools. You agree with us to some degree?
Well, I do agree to some sort, yeah, like age appropriate, but like, say, getting for kids to know their like body parts and stuff like that and be aware of it from a certain age, like, because you have some kids there that have ridiculous names for their body parts and stuff like that, and it's just, you know, like it's crazy, like, so.
But is that our job, or is that the school? Like, when we're talking about primary school children, obviously.
Well,
we're talking
I consider it my job as my son's parents to explain to him what his body parts are like. You know what I mean? But I'd also respect other people's parents, and as well, I'd never disregard anyone else's parents and as to what they want their kids to believe. But I think it's down to the religious aspect of, like, years ago, it was shameful to talk about your body parts and stuff like that.
Okay, and in relation to, I suppose, you know, moving forward, you know, they want to be very inclusive and include LGBTQ and transgender children and gender identity and all that.
Yeah, but I think there's just way too much of that put on kids nowadays, like, from a young age. Like, if that's how you want to, like, bring up your child, that's okay for you. But, like, from, like, parenting in the home, like, not in school, like, from parenting in the home, like, I just say to my son, I'm like, that's, like, you know, I'm like, if a girl loves a girl, if a boy loves a boy, that's okay. But, like, I'd never say it's wrong or, you know, nothing like that. Like, I just let him be, he doesn't see it as any different to anything else, you know what I mean?
And how would you feel if, say, kids as young as 6 or 7 were using books, say, in school that, you know, had, you know, transgender children in the books, you know, or transgender people? Or,
well, would
you be okay with that?
Well, I can't say I would be okay, but like that question has been put to me, so I haven't really thought about it. I'd have to be put in the position to explain to my son, but he, like, I'm very, like, cool as a breeze with everything for him.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, oh, that's a girl that wants to be a boy, or that's a boy that wants to be a girl. That's just how they feel.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be like, oh my God, you know, I wouldn't be going mad over it. Like, I'd just be like, he's a bit young, but like, you know, the younger they're exposed to it, like, it's normal for them. Do you know what I mean? Because it is 2024.
But isn't that the problem? Isn't that what the ladies are saying? That the younger you get children, you said it becomes normal for them. But isn't that the whole point of indoctrination?
It is 2024, and like, you have parents out there that have same sex couples at home raising them, or you have someone at home that has like parents that have a lesbian mum, and then they go to their dad at the weekend, or they might have a gay dad and go to their mum's the weekend and stuff like that. And like, if my son was going on a play date at someone's house and they had two dads or two mums, I wouldn't look at it any differently.
Yeah, it would be less common. I mean, in a classroom of, you know, 30 kids, you know, it might be one child. So, you know, why would we be teaching every other child in the class, you know, about that situation when we don't really need to? We support the child, obviously, of course, that, you know, that's in those situations.
But don't close your child off to it completely. Like, if an awful lot of it now comes down to, like, the religion in Ireland years ago, it was shameful to talk about. But, like, in the home that I have, I'm just like, yeah, look, we are, like, I'm religious, my partner isn't. But, like, I'd never say, oh, no, that's wrong now. Mm. I'm like, live and let live. If you're gay, you're gay. If you're lesbian, you're lesbian. If you're, like, whatever
you are,
you're
right. Well, I think we all think like that, yeah. But obviously, there's a difference in you telling your child about that and the school telling your child about that. Because when the school is doing it, you don't really have a choice in how that's thought to them.
Yeah. Well, like, I was showing my son pictures there of, like, I was at, and there was a gay couple, and I was like, that's him now and his boyfriend, and that's, like, you know, I showed him, and he didn't bat an eyelid, didn't even question, oh, why, you know, why does he not have a girl?
They tend not to, yeah, the kids.
Yeah, he just got on with it, like, okay. You know, he was asking who was in the picture, so, like, it's just gently opening up to them, but, like, it shouldn't be a thing that has to be, like, a big issue made of it, like, unless your child asks more questions about it, because then your child might be feeling some sort of way, do you know what I mean? And be like, oh, it's like, this is okay. And I'd be like, yeah, that's okay. Do you know what I mean? Because if your child wants to be gay in 10 years and they're going to be like, I don't want my child, if he's gay in 10 years, to have to like open up to me. I want my child to just come home and say, ma'am, this is my girlfriend, or ma'am, this is my boyfriend. I don't want him to sit down and say, oh, ma'am, look, have this big discussion. Like, he wouldn't have it if he was bringing home a girlfriend. So why have it if he's bringing home a boyfriend?
Okay, well, listen, thank you for that, Christine, because I know you're rushing, you have to go off. But Jana, that's an interesting point. That sometimes, I know Christine sounds like a good parent, that, you know, that talks to her children about different issues. But there are parents out there. We can't take it for granted that every single parent out there is a good parent and talks to their children about the different issues that children might have when they're young. So that's why the schools feel they need to step in and make up for those bad parents.
Yeah, and it's about... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, it's about age appropriate as well. We have in Ireland, for example, the Children's First Act of 2015. And under one of the sections called emotional abuse, it states that it's abuse emotionally to a child to be giving them material that they're not mentally capable of handling at their age. So, for example, my age 5 boy or my age 8 girl, they don't really know even about like sex yet and relationships, and you know, nonetheless, it probably at this age don't even know much about heterosexual relationships, nonetheless throwing in the trans, non-binary and everything else. That is not age appropriate for age 5, 8 or even like a 10 year old. So that would be emotionally just confusing for a child, and it could be very traumatic for a child when they're trying to learn their reading, their writing and their ABCs and their Irish language while that's still in school. And it would be very confusing at that age to try to take all of this in. So it's really emotionally abusive per the Children First Act of 2015.
Okay, well, let me just go to Sarah Holmes. Leisha, I'll come back to you in a second. Sarah, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are things?
You've talked about this a lot in the past, Sarah, you know, and I know you've been on Twitter, you've been everywhere talking about this. I mean, Sarah, it does look like it's happening, whether we like it or not. Yeah. I know, you know, Jana's fighting the good fight, as is Leisha, and I know you two have as well been involved in this, but it looks like it's happening. So why do you think, when we see, well, we're seeing a government at the moment ignoring people at the best of times, but when it comes to children and child protection, you would imagine that we would be much more conscious, we'd have much more open debate about it, and, you know, public submissions would be taken seriously, wouldn't you? Would imagine so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what's happening is, I mean, if I take a very tangible example of the Busybodies document, which is a guide for primary school children, which is developed by the HSE and it's circulated around to primary schools around the country. That document's been on the go for maybe 20 years. And about 3 or 4 years ago, they injected a gender identity section in there. I guess this is the bit where it's kind of, where I kind of over the last few years have got alarmed. You know, the document, which used to be just about, you know, the anatomy of boys and girls, you know, how your body works, very sensible stuff, you know, reference to reproduction, less so sex, and what we're seeing now around the idea of, you know, all sex acts, etc. But like just a very biologically factual guide, age appropriate, back to what Jana was saying, you know, the right content for young children, right? But about 3 or 4 years ago, they injected in a chapter on gender identity. And the chain of trust, I think, is broken here, Niall. That's the key thing. That's why parents like me, who've had no interest in politics ever, are kind of stepping up and going, well, hang on a minute here. Because, like, I did an FOI into that document. Where did this content come from? The HSE produced it. So you'd assume doctors and nurses and experts are involved. But when something says something like, you know, you can be a boy, girl, neither or both.
But you just know an NGO is involved in that, don't you?
You know an NGO is involved. And behind the scenes, it was Belong To. And then you look at the profile of Belong To. So Belong To is made up of activists with zero qualifications. So what we've done here is we've broken the chain of trust in Ireland. And it's not just busybodies. This is within the curriculum as well. Once you dig and you find the root cause of this content coming in, it's uneducated activists with no skills, no training, other than just they have decided that they want our children to be told they could be born in the wrong body. And they have gotten their way through guilt tripping politicians and civil servants into giving them the
And why, right. Why do you think politicians do that? Do you think politicians are afraid? Because, well, we've seen that, by the way, during the last referendum, of course, politicians, you know, pandering to the National Women's Council. So you think politicians are afraid of NGOs?
I think hopefully the tide is now turning.
I think it is. Yeah,
coming up against the hate speech. But I think what happened was, if you look, they were in the background for the last few years. Someone decided, and Leisha and Jana probably know lots more about this. Someone decided, without tinfoil hats, you know, that we need to normalize this idea that if someone says they're something, even if they're not it, everyone has to go along with it. And they put themselves into positions of power and started lobbying. You can look at the lobbying.ie and you can see the amount of lobbying that goes on. You can see the access to politicians. They sat them down. They would bring someone in and say, look, this person is miserable. This is why they're miserable. If you look at the hate speech, the lobbying for the hate speech legislation, you can see it's predominantly organizations which are promoting the idea that children and that people are born in the wrong body. So,
no, we've seen that as well in the United Kingdom too. Well, in Scotland, and the new hate speech bill, of course, comes in there on the 1st of April. And the big story at the moment, of course, is J.K. Rowling, who has misgendered India Willoughby, and is failing to remove those tweets that she put up, actually refusing to remove them. And she could be the first person to be prosecuted under British law with hate speech because she called a man, which is quite bizarre. Yeah. I mean, I want to just come to Leisha on that matter. Leisha, do you think all this is being pushed by NGOs, or is it the Department of Education themselves who feel it needs to be updated? Because in fairness, I think we all agree that the education programme or the curriculum hasn't been updated in 25 years and probably does need a bit of a reshuffle anyway. Look, we all understand that. Children do know a little bit more than we did when we were 12 or 13 years of age. They have access to the internet, not that they should, but they have access to the internet on their smartphones and everything else. So it's better that we tell them rather than finding it out off TikTok or whatever it happens to be. You would agree with that, wouldn't you, Leisha?
Yeah, so like as a sort of progressive organisation, our position would be that there should be lessons around consent, that we do need to do anything we can to stop child-on-child sexual abuse, which is probably because of the influence of porn, that we have to be able to have conversations about this, that in the absence of parents not wanting to, that school does have a place. But going back to my earlier point, this idea that sexual orientation is the same thing as trans is fundamentally incorrect. And it is part of the trans project to ensure that we all, and particularly organisations, institutions with a small C conservative, believe that. And what they really don't want to do is to be seen as homophobic. So therefore, they will happily go along with this idea.
But the problem is the LGB have hitched their wagon to the T. And they've done that for years. That's the problem, isn't it?
It's very damaging to the cohort in the classroom to tell them in any messaging that being trans is normal and it's like being gay or straight when it simply is not. That is not the case. So it is absolutely damaging to those children. And also on a kind of philosophical or developmental point of view, like, how dare any child be, how dare any teacher say to a child, your best little friend who you sit beside every single day, suddenly they're not Johnny anymore, they're Susan, and you have to pretend they're a girl, they are a girl, and if you say they're not a girl, you're a hateful bigot. That is abusive to that child. And it going back to Sarah's point about trust, these teachers are in a position of power and trust, and we have handed our children over to them. And it is, you know, we heard of a case in Dublin where 8-year-olds were being instructed by the teacher to use their preferred pronouns. I mean, mm-hmm. it's an abuse of that relationship. But I would say this, Niall, and I want the, you know, to really make this point very clear. Like, trans has become mainstream insofar it's part of the culture. I mean, we're undergoing a huge sort of propaganda, really, machine around this, a huge amount of lobbying to make it normative. So, like, I think it's going to be there in the curriculum. But our position as an organisation would be, and we've done so much work on all different draft curricula, would be that if you say trans at all, you must talk about detransitioners. You must talk about the harm of puberty blockers, how there will be no sexual function, how you will be a lifelong medical patient, and all the medical complications up to and including sterility. But also, I think we have to look at how this impacts same-sex attracted people. So, you know, like, trans ideology is working actively against their rights.
There's a lot of misinformation being given out by NGOs who support the trans community by suggesting that they are reversible puberty blockers, when, of course, the evidence, even from the NHS in the UK, who now don't prescribe them anymore, say they can be dangerous. And of course, we don't know for sure because we're not using them for long enough to see the actual real effects, the long-term effects. But they can be very dangerous and they can be completely irreversible. I just have to move on some callers, but just finally, if I can, Janet, just in relation to you, as I mentioned earlier on there to Leisha and obviously to Sarah as well, you know, it looks like there's not a lot we're going to be able to do about this. We see this with the hate speech bill. We see it with lots of other things as well, that the government just steamroll everything in, whether you like it or not. And I think this will be the government's last stand on this particular thing. But this is supposed to come in when? In September, isn't it?
The senior cycle consultation finished, and just like the junior cycle one that happened a year ago, parents were sidelined. We have Freedom of Information Act requests that we are doing. They've been denied by the NCCA. It's now with the commissioner, and it's in full investigation and as to why they are hiding the information, proving to us that parents were sidelined. Senior cycle is meant to go in this year. The primary school, the small children now, that consultation is open until early June. And we're going to be starting a campaign in the next week or two. We have a promo video coming out in the next couple of weeks, filming with a few mums reading from the school books, just so people can know what's in there. So it is going in. It's already in for junior cycle. Senior cycle consultation's done. It's going to come in 2024 and then primary school 2025. So when you say there's not a lot we can do about it, I agree it's a big challenge because it is driven by the likes of the United Nations. It's coming from the top down, not the bottom up. But the government is not listening to the people. No one's asked Leo Varadkar about his ties to the World Economic Forum. They are pushing this gender ideology as well as part of their sustainable development goals, SDGs. So there is a lot we can do about it. We need parents to rise up in the thousands against this coming into schools. We need parents to go into board of management with call meetings, go to the principal, take their kids out, say, we do not accept this. We do not accept it. But a lot of it is already in the schools. So what parents have to do is teach your children to be proper critical thinkers. Now, we are seeing something come in the new education called critical thinking. So it looks good teaching your kid to be a critical thinker. But what the education is doing is teaching them critical thinking that is one-sided. You have to be a critical thinker, but you're only allowed to believe this. And they're excluding kids like mine, will be excluded and bullied.
That was another point I was going to make.
We have to rise up. Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting. That was a point I was going to make. There was only legislation brought in on AI during the week there as well. And most of us will know at this stage that if you go into ChatGPT and you say, write me a short essay on why a man can't become a woman, it won't write it for you. It'll tell you it can't. It goes against its policy. For us as critical thinkers and adults who've been around on this planet for quite a while, we can write our own essay and that's fine. But going forward in time, young children who are now using an AI, of course, will be the future, just like calculators were when we were kids. AI will be the future. That's going to be the only opinion they'll get. That's going to be the only narrative when it comes to climate change, when it comes to gender ideology, when it comes to queer theory, when it comes to all these things. That's the only narrative they will get. They won't be given another option. So I think it's quite dangerous.
And one point, Niall, I want to make to any principal and teacher watching this is principals and teachers need to look at what's happening in other countries. We are 10 years behind them. There are lawsuits against schools, against Department of Education. And if this is taught in schools, and if a child, particularly a vulnerable child, and we saw that data showed over 50% of the people seeking gender care may be on the autistic spectrum. Mm. If a child goes down this path because of what they're taught in schools, and that child is harmed and they wish to detransition and regret their decision, parents will be going after the teacher, the principal, the Department of Education that taught this from a legal perspective. We will see lawsuits. So parents and teachers need to be aware that your job is to safeguard our children. We are handing our children over to you in your care to teach them. If you harm them, we will go after you in any way we possibly can legally. And Leisha can probably comment more on that from a barrister perspective.
Go ahead, Leisha, very quickly.
I would have concerns about the well-being curriculum. I don't know if we're going to discuss that, but there will be a person who is given quite robust legal rights. But that was challenged in Scotland in 2016, the Supreme Court in the UK, and the Scottish parents who took that fight all the way to the Supreme Court actually won because it was seen to be unconstitutional and a kind of a breach of the parental and child, you know, relationship. That someone could have that power to complain or share information with other agencies. So, I mean, I think as well, the other point to make is it is an attack on the rights of parents and a kind of growing of the state input into that relationship. And that's kind of one of the broader points of this, I think.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, ladies. I appreciate you. Jana London from the Natural Women's Council, thank you very much indeed. And also Leisha de Bruin from atthecountess.ie, by the way, if you want to go, or just atthecountess or thecountess.ie if you want to go to the website. Is that correct? Did I get that correct?
Yeah, I just wanted to say we're hosting a conference on the 27th of April where we'll in the RDS, where we'll be discussing this in depth. We'll be going through the curriculum and all the other tendrils of gender ideology as they impact Irish society, law, culture, sport.
I shall drop along. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed. And we'll talk to you more about that. We'll talk to you more about that particular event when the time comes. Thank you very much indeed, ladies. Now, let me just go, if I can, to Sarah. Sarah, just coming back to you very briefly, because I'm sorry we couldn't get you on at the same time as the ladies, because I know you were kind of busy yourself. But Sarah, I've loads of callers on. Everybody kind of disagrees with this idea of sex education this young for children, that type of sex education, but yet we're not able to do anything about it. That seems quite frustrating for parents, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is very frustrating. I think, though, many of us are only starting to understand now that there is a way to start having a voice. Like, I put in a formal complaint to the HSE on this busybodies guide last year. I got a response, and lo and behold, about 2 weeks ago, I was checking up on the online version and they had changed it. Now, it's not completely eradicated out the problem parts, but they had changed it. And I wonder, would they have changed it if they hadn't got a complaint from myself? And I think a few other people also complained. So I think parents need to find their voice and to start speaking up and articulating. Because when you see people on Twitter, there's people who are well able to articulate it on there, but they're not maybe following up with the Department of Education.
What's odd? I'll tell you, here's something that's odd. I looked up, tried to get a bit of information today, and I went onto the NCCA website into the relationship section in primary school. So I clicked on, it had junior cert, and I can't remember what the other one was, but primary school was there as well. The other two worked. When I clicked primary school, it comes up as a 404 error page. So they don't have any information on it on their website. There's an error page. Now, I don't know whether they're just having problems with the website at the moment, but that seems to be the only page they have an issue with, which is the primary school sex education.
Yeah, and there's lots of, it's weird when you start going to some of those websites, they'll have links to other sites where they'll say, oh, here's the parent council, the National Parents Council website, or here's the primary principal's website, or here's some other, there's links upon links, and you'll find very old content and very weird content on there.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the people who we look to kind of roll this out and keep it up to date, I don't think they've got a grasp on it themselves.
No. As you heard earlier on, the lady saying, and I completely agree, this is all being pushed by NGOs. It's not being pushed by, you know, educational organizations. It's being pushed by NGOs. I mean, we all know that, sure.
Yeah, it's 100%. I mean, I have dealt with the NCCA in the past, and I think they're now at the mercy of all these NGOs. Even just yesterday, I was looking at the minutes of this, the LGBTQ plus strategy, the last meeting that Roderick O'Gorman had, and it's just a smorgasbord of NGOs. You can see the meeting minutes. I'll send them on to you. And you can see what they're talking about. And it's like, when are we getting the money? You know, that's the main theme. Where's the money? We need the money. For what, right? I mean, my thing would be, like, you know, anyone I know voted yes for marriage equality because we wanted people to be treated the same and have the same rights. But it's like there's something else that's keeping these NGOs motivated, which is the constant need for money and the constant need to tell kids that they're different and that there's, you know, that people hate them. And, you know, I've got teenagers and they said, you know, that they don't give a damn whether somebody is gay or straight. It doesn't actually enter their psyche, but they're constantly being told by, you know, belong to will come up come in for their whatever week they have and their stand-up week and tell them that everybody hates gay people. You know, and this is the first time that they've actually thought about this.
No, young children don't, you know, they don't hate anybody. You know what I mean? Unless you tell them to hate them, they're not going to hate anybody. Well, look, Sarah, thank you very much, Neil. I'd love to have you on for longer. Maybe we'll get you back on again another day because I know there's a lot you want to talk about, but unfortunately we can't get it all in one day. But thank you very much indeed, Sarah, for joining us. I appreciate it. Let me go to John as well. John, hi, how are you?
I'm not so bad. Well, I can't understand. There, 2 weeks ago, there we had more referendums, and the Irish people finally found their voice. No, a situation like this where children are being taught against the parents' will. Like, last time I looked, like, their children belonged to the parents. They didn't belong to NGOs. They didn't belong to Leo Varadkar, Roderick O'Gorman, or any of these characters, right? They belong to their family, their parents.
And I would agree with you, but to some degree, I also have to argue, John, and that, you know, as much as most of us are good parents, some of us are bad parents and don't talk to our children about the obvious things in life.
Yeah, well, you don't talk to primary school kids, very young kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about masturbation and about changing your genders and all this kind of carry on. Like, you leave the innocence there as long as you can. And
it didn't do me any harm not to, when I say not to know about it. Nobody had to tell me about it.
These NGOs, like, I mean, we all know where they're coming from and we all know where the lobby really lies, right? And they've now become a political movement, right? And unfortunately, they've been listened to, right? And I support the same-sex marriage, so I don't class myself as a homophobe, right? But the people that voted for the same-sex marriage were all of voting age. We are now allowing children, very young children, to be indoctrinated into something which they should not be experiencing it all. And I put two characters in the frame here, and that's the farmer, almost out the door Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and the Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, John. You're blaming both of those, obviously because you feel they're too progressive. Let me go to Sean. Sean, hi, how are you?
Niall, pretty hard following up the three girls there today, Sarah, Alicia and Jana. I'm a parent and, you know, I wasn't consulting this. There was an open consultative mechanism on the website that sounded like your ChatGPT at the start of your show. They're not listening to parents on this. They haven't consulted parents as the primary educators in Ireland. I don't see where the legitimacy from this is coming from. Every parent I talk to is against this. And the big fear is so few are aware. We're almost in our own little bubble on this show, on Grit Media, on Twitter. When I talk to parents outside of this bubble who are aware of what's happening, they all think this is a great idea because they've no idea what's actually included in the curriculums. I think the biggest part at the moment is we need to get the word out.
I think Leisha made a really good point. This idea that we're attaching, you know, LGB to T, In other words, you know, that this idea that, you know, well, if you don't treat transgender people properly, or you don't believe that a man or a boy can become a girl, well, then you have a problem with gay people. And that's not true at all, because there's no connection whatsoever. It just so happens that LGBT, and I mentioned that maybe it was a mistake by the LGBT community to hitch the wagon to the T community, because the problem is they're two completely different things.
Well, you know, being gay is being who you are. Being trans is being someone you're not. So it's very easy to strike between the two. I'm very fearful about this. I'm very fearful about where it leads. The social contagion is obvious.
But there is a bit of a pushback, Sean. I can see the pushback around the world. I mean, we can see it in states in America, for example. We can see it in the United Kingdom with the Tory government recently, although there's a bit of a pushback now, and you might see a Labour getting back into power, and if Keir Starmer gets in, that's the end of that. But you can certainly see a pushback in a lot of countries against this whole gender ideology.
Yeah, I think it's really important that Fianna Gael, Fianna Fáil delay the election as long as possible. If they do, we're going to go into an election cycle for the US presidential along with the Irish general election at the same time. And I think the issues over there this time around will be immigration and trans ideology. And once that happens, it'll transfer over here into mainstream media. But at the moment, I mean, you don't see Primetime talking about this. You don't see Virgin Media talking about this. And if they do, you know, then they'll stack up a Kerry TD against an activist. I mean, what place does an activist with no children have having input into the school curriculum? The only people who should have been involved in that from start to finish are the schools, the principals, medical professionals and parents. I mean, the idea that we have belonged to or Tenny or any of those involved in our schools in any way, shape or form is contrary to any kind of sanity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with NGOs having any say whatsoever in what goes into schools and what goes into education. Unfortunately, I'm very stuck for time. Sean, thank you very much indeed. Let me just go to Michelle. Michelle, hi, how are you?
Hi, Ned, how are you?
Good. Michelle, do you agree with updating the sex education program in schools for primary school children to include things like consent, inclusivity, gender, identity? Do you agree with it?
No, not gender and identity for primary school children or even secondary school children, unless it's explained as, you know, a feeling that somebody has.
Just to point out for people, by the way, you're a social care worker and you also have postgrad in sexual education or sexuality in education.
I run puberty workshops actually for kids with ID and autism. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very interested in this topic. And what I would say, the workshops I run is with parents at the workshops. You know, I think parents need to be a lot more involved in you know, your previous caller just there was saying about, you know, designing curriculums, you know, knowing exactly what's going into a curriculum, what their kids are being taught in school. And I don't think young children in particular should be learning about identity, gender identities, you know. Mm-hmm. I think, like, you know, that it's just, you know, typically we have biological males, biological females. Then a very small minority of people will have, you know, DNA differences.
Yeah,
difference of sex development. That's a completely separate issue. It's something like if a teacher is presented with a child that has DSD, for example, or gender dysphoria. So, I mean, they're not topics that a teacher should be expected to be,
but we're seeing, you know, it more and more. We, as I said only a couple of years ago there, one of the big stories in the newspaper was a teacher demanding, you know, that the children, the 8-year-olds in the class, use a different pronoun for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I know. And for me, like, you know, as a social care professional, I think if a teacher is coming into a classroom and they're placed more importance on their thoughts and feelings about themselves in that kind of situation, that to me actually is possibly a red flag.
It essentially means they're an activist of some description, doesn't it? Really?
It doesn't show emotional maturity, that they're not able to put their own feelings and needs aside for the greater good of the kids in the classroom. You know, like if I did identify in my line of work, I work with teenagers, you know, with intellectual disabilities, as I said, but I work part time in a training centre. If I did identify as, you know, a different pronoun, I wouldn't expect the kids that I work with to address me by that. You know.
Yeah, I think, you know, this idea that we want to remove this kind of gender normative from schools, I think is bonkers, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, telling 5-year-olds, listen, Johnny, if you want to be Susan tomorrow, you can. I mean, because they can't.
They can't. And children's, you know, children that age, the way their brains develop, the way they think about things, they can't, you know, they're quite imaginative at that age.
Absolutely.
you know, they're prone to latch on to lots of different ideas that are kind of could be given to them, you know.
Okay, well, listen, Michelle, thank you very much indeed for that. And I'm sorry for being really short with everybody. Elaine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are things?
Good. Do you agree with this or disagree with it or agree with it?
I completely disagree with it, Niall. I have been openly campaigning against it since 2019, since it was announced by Ruth Coppinger and Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit. And I've campaigned.
Oh, they kind of championed this going back a few years ago, didn't they? Yeah, yeah.
2019, yeah, they called for the update of it. And we went ahead and read it and what it entailed. You know, it's not an article or a curriculum that's coming from Ireland itself. It's coming from the EU. We don't have to participate in everything the EU do. And I think that we're overriding constitutional law inside this country to depict minors to suit EU EU laws, to be honest. And I just want to state there that under the Criminal Law Sexual Offences Act 2017, Niall, to depict any minor in any setting carries a jail term of up to 10 years. So I think that parents need to be very much so have an open dialogue with their kids, because I have a friend whose son came home from school, 11 years old. He's on a spectrum last week. His father nearly crashed the car with him in the car. He was told inside in school what good and bad touches were on a woman's breast, and they haven't returned him back to school yet.
Oh, gosh. They didn't
consent to this being told to him. The school just went ahead. And I think as well the fact that they were trying to remove the word woman to create a durable relationship inside the country while also looking to lower the age of consent to 14 years. There should be red flags going off in every single parent's head in Ireland. Article 40 of the
Constitution. I haven't seen that. No, I've seen them suggesting reducing the age of consent to 16, not 14.
I know.
Elaine, thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Ted. Ted, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall? Thanks for having me on.
Good, Ted. Do you agree with this change in the sex education?
Not at all. 100% no. My 4-year-old, he started junior infants there this September. Just after February there, he's only four and a half now, he was given a piece of paper in his bag sent home saying that after one of the midterms they were going to be taught this. And down the bottom, the SPHE and the RS, whatever it is, RSA, one of the
RSPHE, yeah. That's
the one, yeah. And down the bottom of the piece of paper has written that the school will not be responsible for anything said outside of the classroom. Now, you know yourself, with big schools, like there could be older kids getting information from elsewhere, and then they could have access to YouTube or whatever, and they'll be telling them this, that, and the other, like, which would probably happen more than likely. But to try and get kids that young to be learning it, it's just wrong. Plain and simple.
I mean, people have said it's like almost like going back to the days of religious indoctrination. You're kind of indoctrinating children into a way of thinking, you know, that it's okay if they're five and you want to change your gender.
Not at all. In my I have a stronger term for it. It's pure rainbow Nazism. You can see the type of propaganda that's being pushed, and maybe later on when they're 16 or 18, near the end of the leaving cert, maybe things like that.
I do believe sex education in general is important for a child, particularly, and they normally get it in the second year of secondary school, which is like 14 years of age. I do believe sex education is important. I mean, you don't want children growing up, you know, not understanding, sex.
Oh,
because
yeah,
let's be clear, they're losing their virginity at 16 years of age.
Yeah, 100%. Things like that, and STDs, things like that, how to do it safely and all. More to defer them, you know what I mean, from getting into situations they don't want to be. Mm. But again, at a bit of a later date, like even with biology, like I'd say, you know, girls can be embarrassed around boys, and boys will make fun and all this, that, and the other. So maybe even like a separate class for girls about their own reproductive systems, because, you know what I mean? Just I think there needs to be a lot more thought around it before being instigated, and an option for parents as well.
We
didn't even, the piece of paper we got didn't even have an option to opt the child out or anything. So like, what do you do in that case?
I believe that it should be every parent's right to opt out of anything like this, if that's how they feel about it. And absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. Ted, thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Munirazi. Munirazi, hi, how are you?
Hi, now. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. Munirazi, okay, sex education generally in school, do you agree with it?
No, man. I believe this is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Actually, it's pathetic to actually think of that, you know, like primary school, these are children, man. Like they want to brainwash. I don't know if it's brainwashing is the good word or it's propaganda. I mean, we've got more pressing issues here in Ireland, like, you know, immigration, housing, health. These are the things that we should be channeling.
And I don't disagree with you, but this, you know? But it is equally important too that we're conscious of children, you know, and what we're teaching them, particularly when it comes to sex education, because it would be fair to say, Munirazi, that children now, compared to when we were kids, know an awful lot more. So we want to give them, make sure they have the right information instead of the information they might get from, as I said earlier, on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube or whatever it happens to be. We want to make sure they have the right information.
But still, yes, we can start that maybe in the secondary school, you know. It would be like our 13, 14-year-old. Mm. That would be at least better. Rather than teaching like a 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old, that's way, way too low.
Way too young. Yeah, it's just kind of inappropriate. Okay, well, actually, Munirazi, just stay there for a second because I want to bring Susan in very quickly. Susan, hi, how are you? Oh, Suzanne, sorry, I do apologize. Suzanne.
Hi, Noel. Yeah, hi, Noel. Yeah, I'm listening to all the people there and I just want to make a few quick points briefly. I'm totally against this. The Department of Education are employed by the parents and the rights of the child needs to be protected. Another point I'd like to make. I'm not a psychologist, but I study psychology. 0 to 7 for children is, they're like sponges. They soak up everything. 7 to 14, they mimic everything they see around them. So they mimic their parents, etc. 14 to 21, they play up on what they've soaked up and what they've mimicked. So I think to try and indoctrinate, you know, junior, you know, senior little kids, indoctrinate them with stuff that A, they probably won't understand. And B, I don't know, when I was a parent, I could barely do maths homework with my kids and they come home with homework. So it's bringing the whole thing in. So the other thing I just want to mention is, you know, I think this is influenced by the NGOs again. 17 LGBT NGOs are funded by the government. And it's a bit like the no-no vote. It's sort of another strand of that. And just one thing I want to mention, we're trying to keep kids, you know, safe from the internet. You know, and I can't police parents, but under 12's iPhones on the internet, that's the first thing. I think, Niall, it's to protect the innocence of children.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I know Florida, as I mentioned earlier on, brought in legislation yesterday.
It's just the innocence.
Yeah.
Like, I drive up Griffith Avenue every day and there's 3 schools come out at 2 o'clock and there's little kids there and they're so innocent. So, you know, some kids still believe in Santa up to the time they're 8 or 9. So no, no, no for me. And just one thing I'll say, you know, the famous actress Angelina Jolie, if you remember, her daughter identified as a boy for many years, dressed as a boy, identified as a boy, and then she's now blossomed into a beautiful young woman. I have Grace 2 sons. I think kids go through all kinds of phases in life.
I don't blame Angelina Jolie's daughter for that. I blame Angelina Jolie for that.
Yeah, I suppose, for feeding into it. But I'm saying, you know, with kids, kids go through so many phases in life. That let them go through their phases, but don't influence them. Don't allow.
I mean, on a very simple note, I told my father when I was 7 I wanted to be the Hulk. He didn't spray me green and pump me full of steroids. Do you know what I mean?
No.
So what I'm saying is you listen to a child, you support a child, but you don't affirm something like that at a young age because that's just ridiculous.
No.
That's what Angelina Jolie did. Okay, but listen, unfortunately, I've run out of time. Munirazi, Suzanne, I do apologise to everybody that I had to rush through you all very quickly there. Went a little bit over time. Thank you very much indeed for joining us today. Don't forget, by the way, keep supporting the podcast. Keep supporting us. Go to our website. We need your money. It's like Bob Geldof, isn't it, during Live Aid when he was banging the table. We need your money. We need your money. Because obviously we've bills to pay. We don't get paid for doing the show. Please support us by going to the website and clicking either donate or subscribe. And don't forget, while the show is on, there's a link there as well. If you want to just buy us a coffee, you can. You can just click the link on Buy Me a Coffee. All right, thank you very much indeed. We've got another podcast on the way. So if you are listening to this one right now, stop listening and go to the next one.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.